Hello, everyone, and welcome into episode number 229 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And we don't know either. That is the name of the podcast. I got a bunch of facts. I want to jump right into it today. So let's go. Let's do it.
Okay.
You go first. I'm excited.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first. Kick us off.
I've got a bunch if you want. But
yeah, we got time. We got facts. We got trivia. And by the way, we had a comment come in from somebody that didn't realize that we have trivia events. We do.
No, we're just three people who like dicking around with trivia.
Yeah. So districttrivia.com for those in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Bridgetowntrivia.com out in Portland. And then Patriot Trivia in Boston area. So check out our actual events. The host will ask questions from this podcast. So you get bonus points. There's a secret phrase. You get 5 bonus points. So there's a method to our madness, sort of.
You will get at least one question right.
You are guaranteed a question. Yes.
Yeah. There you go. I find it hard to believe that we have so many listeners who don't know that we are a trivia company that runs trivia events at bars and restaurants.
Who knew? But we do.
Huh. Okay. Well, there you go.
Okay. Sorry. So anyway, back to your fact.
Okay. Like I said, I have a number of facts.
Excellent.
I actually, you know what? I've gone with the entire trivia question list again. So it's just a quick trivia question.
Oh, quick trivia question. Yeah,
quick
okay,
trivia
the gotchas.
Question, not a long. No, it's not necessarily
Nick's
a gotcha.
Rapid fire.
Yeah. Bow, bow, bow.
So you all should like this because it's multiple choice.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Okay. What month has the highest percentage of births in the United States?
Okay. I'm going to say February. I'm not going to say February, but I'm going to go
9
March,
months from February.
April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. November.
You think it's November?
See, I'm going earlier.
You're going 9 months from Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That's your, okay.
I also think that winter, there's not a lot of stuff to do beside it. You're kind of trapped inside. They say that a lot of babies are born 9 months after a major blizzard, major snowstorm.
Right, because that's the most fun thing you can do on a snow day.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Which is why I'm actually going with September. I'm thinking right around Christmas, you're stuck at home, it's the holidays. 9 months from that.
9 months from September?
9 months from Christmas.
That's December.
Christmas is in December. Yes. I'm going 9 months from Christmas, so that's
September.
September.
Okay, you're going the other way. Okay.
Yes.
Michael is the closest.
Woo!
It is August.
Oh,
hey.
It's August. Really?
Yeah, all of your reasoning is all 100% correct. It's just you picked Valentine's Day and you picked Christmas, and apparently it's Thanksgiving.
You know what? Here's the thing, though. If you would have taken a poll of this podcast right now,
uh-huh.
2 out of 3 of the people in this room were born in August. We should have just gone that way.
Right.
I was going to say you two and maybe a couple other friends are August babies, but I have a lot more friends in July and November, October.
November, I have a couple.
I'm in November. Yeah. I'm a Thanksgiving, near Thanksgiving baby. My birthday's on Thanksgiving every 6 or so, 7 years, which is great because I always get double cake with my turkey. It's awesome. I always get to see my family. I love my birthday. I always go Black Friday shopping with my mom. It's fantastic.
You get birthday cake and pumpkin pie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that works out really well. You know what's really funny? I'm not a huge cake person. Mm-hmm. I've never been a big cake person. So every year for my birthday, my mother makes me a pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
I love pumpkin pie. So I get pumpkin pie in August.
Yeah. Joey loves pie too. He's not a big cake person, so I always make the pies, which isn't a bad thing. I like chocolate and icing and things. But none of those things are mattered. No. So
Sarah and I
are mattered. What?
Yeah. So Sarah and I have been I'm going to give up my man card here for a minute and give you an admission of guilt. So the show that Sarah and I are most massively obsessed with right now is the Great British Bake Off.
And for the record, men can watch
the Great British Bake Off. Let me hand that man card back. I'm with you on this.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't need to confine to gender norms about television shows. Let the men watch their cooking shows. This is feminism in the 21st century.
Absolutely. So there's just something about Paul and Mary that are just like, it's so, and like the narrator has the voice of like the Winnie the Pooh narrator. It's like just a very soothing.
Well, I'll listen to British people say anything.
Yeah. So it's
say or read anything, I'm in.
If Hugh Laurie reads the dictionary, I would probably buy it on iTunes.
Okay, give us another one.
So anyway, my point is Sarah and I are massively going to start getting into baking as soon as we're through this next hurdle in our life.
Cool.
So once we get through that, but anyway.
Yeah, the hurdle being a new baby.
Another child.
Another child. I've actually got a whole trivia game that we can get into a little bit later, so why don't you two do your interesting facts, and then we'll get into my whole game.
Okay, excellent. So I'm going to go next.
Okay.
So Michael and I realized that we both had the same interesting fact, so he's going to kind of duck out of this one. Feel free to answer.
It's all on me.
Well, feel free to answer if you know some things. And I have a couple bonus facts and follow-up facts. So you guys know the craze, the fidget spinner craze that's happening. Nick, I know you have a fidget spinner.
I do have a fidget spinner.
Of course you have a fidget spinner.
Yeah, I have a fidget spinner and a fidget cube.
And you were talking to me doing your fidget spinner one time, and I was like, I'm going to knock this out of your hand, which is cool.
I'm just glad you stopped bringing it into meetings.
Yeah.
Was it slightly distracting?
I'd be trying to listen to all I hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. There's a trend. I don't get it, but I'm not 10 years old or Nick Rose. So
I also have a fidget cube on my desk, by the way.
Yeah, hey, you know what? To each his own. Everybody fidgets. It's cool. So the woman who originally patented the fidget spinner, this was back in 2005.
Okay.
She brought it to Hasbro, and they rejected it after consumer testing, saying, like, no one's going to like this. But she didn't get to keep her patent, so she's not getting any of this money from this craze.
Why didn't she get to keep her patent?
Because she couldn't afford
the full patent application.
She couldn't afford the renewal. So how much was that renewal?
How much was the renewal for the fidget spinner?
Yeah, for the patent, yeah.
All right, I may have a little bit of an inside track on this, considering I'm currently working on patents and, you know, paying lawyers to do those and going there. Are you looking for the fee from the U.S. Patent Office
or the total cost,
including the legal fees?
No, this is the amount that she couldn't, which is unfortunate because obviously she would have been making a ton of money.
It's somewhere between like $300 to $500. It's not much.
$400.
How did I do? You did pretty well. Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, 400. But this woman is, from what I've read about her, seems to be doing okay. She's got a GoFundMe account because she's making a similar kind of thing. But she's just said she's thrilled that it took off, which I don't know. I would be pissed. If I were the CEO of Blockbuster and I didn't buy Netflix, I would be pissed. If I had a patent to the fidget spinners and I saw what was happening today, I'd be pissed. But maybe she's just a much better person than I am.
Here's my question. Obviously. Hypothetically, she renews the patent.
Yes.
Is it as popular today as it is?
No, because it's not mass produced.
Yeah,
I think that's 500 different people.
But I also don't know how Hasbro now makes fidget spinners. So I don't know what happened that they started to take off. I don't know the origin story of the current trend.
As I understand, it's partially to deal with ADD, isn't it? Isn't that the whole point of fidget spinners?
That is the BS thought process behind the marketing platform that sells fidget spinners. That's what I figure.
That it improves
concentration, that it allows you to do this and that and the other thing. There is a great, and we will put this in the link dump, there is a great College Humor, I think it's College Humor, video, it might be Cracked, about the next fidget spinners and about how it improves concentration, and like everybody comes into a meeting and like one guy has the fidget spinner and then the next guy comes in and he's like playing, he's like, oh, you haven't heard of this other thing, and he brings out like a pacifier with like a doll at the end of it and then the other one is in like a little baby gym where they lie on their back and they play with the mirrors and stuff and like it's a lot of social commentary in one video, but it's hysterical.
So my follow-up question, so there's a company in Russia that is claiming to have the world's most expensive fidget spinner.
Okay.
And it is gold-plated.
Gold-plated? Fidget spinners aren't that big. Just make it out of gold.
Yeah, so how much is, according to various sources, they're all linking back to this one site, gold-plated fidget spinner, the most expensive fidget spinner in the world.
I don't know this part of it, so I'm going to jump back in. I'm going to say $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, what is gold at right now? It's about $15,000 an ounce.
Sure.
Assuming about 10 ounces of gold. I was going to say $15,000.
You can't both say the same answer.
That's why I jumped in.
$15,001.
Yeah, I knew you were going to do that.
So Nick takes it.
Of course he does.
$16,700 for the gold-plated Russian fidget spinner. Unknown whether Putin gave Trump one of those. Unknown.
How much is Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring worth?
I think a lot more than that. That's probably my favorite story right now.
Putin still has.
Yeah.
How much is that in rubles? Is that the appropriate currency?
Yes. And it's like 999,000.
Okay. 999,000.
Something
rubles.
Like that. Yeah. But yeah, it's a lot of stuff. There's been talks of, people in the ER. There was a viral picture going around that a 9-year-old got his fidget spinner stuck on his penis. Don't put your penis in a fidget spinner.
That is a sad state
don't
of affairs.
Do it. And then I just saw, as I was looking up more about fidget spinners.
I knew I was doing it wrong.
They have fidget spinners for nipples too. So there's a whole other, I think, secondary market. I don't know that woman. Her name is Catherine. I don't know how she's a chemical engineer, but I don't know how she feels about those ones.
So the real question is, what does
do they approve concentration?
No. What is Rule 34 on this?
Oh yeah, I don't know.
What does fidget spinner porn entail?
I don't want to know. Yeah, I don't want to think about it. I will say, though, we asked about the origin of the fidget spinners. So in 2016, in December, 2 days before Christmas, December 23rd, Forbes published an article describing the fidget spinner as the must-have office toy for 2017. And then in March, social media websites, YouTube, Reddit, began uploading videos of people performing tricks. And then it went mainstream, and here we are.
What are other office toys?
The fidget cube.
I don't know. I'm sure we have a
million. Trash basketball.
Trash basketball is the only thing that immediately comes to mind.
I have this Nerf basketball thing that I've been meaning to bring in.
Okay. I know we have Nerf footballs and wiffle ball bats and all that kind of stuff in the office.
We have footballs in the office?
Yeah. There's a little blue Nerf football somewhere.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, all right, Michael, your turn.
Okay. So,
yes.
Thriller. Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah, I'm aware.
There is a world record for the most people to do the
Thriller dance.
Thank you.
Are you sure this isn't the drunk podcast right now?
I'm tripping over my words a little bit here. So the largest thriller dance.
Is it that Filipino jail?
No, it's not the Filipino jail.
What is that story?
It's a bunch of inmates in some Southeast Asian prison all got together and rehearsed and did the whole Thriller dance with like the entire population of the prison in the yard.
Oh, that's cool.
There's another video we'll throw in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I was picturing Adam Sandler and The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
That's
similar
like
to that, but
the halftime entertainment.
Right. Oh, there you go.
Okay, sorry, Michael. Yep. So, world record.
Yeah, so it's the world record for the largest Thriller dance.
Mm-hmm.
How many people
for the world record Thriller dance?
And this is according to Guinness.
According to Guinness.
All right.
The utmost source of world records. How terrible of a job would it be for you to be the world record officiant? Like you go to X small town to do the world record and then they don't break it and you have to tell them that.
Yeah.
That'd be one of the worst jobs in the world.
Isn't that kind of a binary thing? You either hit it or you don't.
I know, but you have to tell those people that they didn't hit it after they've been organizing and planning and maybe all these people
show up. More importantly, after they paid you $10,000 to be there. Because that's what Guinness charges to get an officiant out.
Ah.
So, yeah, after I paid $10,000 to be told I didn't break the record, now I'm pissed.
Yeah, wow. Okay, sorry. I was just thinking about how terrible that job would be.
Right. There was a show a number of years ago. I don't know if it was like an America's Got Talent or one of those types of shows where they had somebody out there trying to set the Guinness World Record for something. They had somebody from Guinness there, and it was aired on television.
Ooh.
And they didn't get there.
Ooh.
Oh, that's brutal.
That's
it was like most cars jumped in a 60-second period or something like that, and it was literally a person like jump up in the air and the car would be driving under, and there was just like cars going like speeding down the lane and the guy was like jumping over it. He was like getting closer and closer as he was getting more and more tired.
It was compelling television.
He did get clipped a couple of times, but he never like lost his balance and got run over.
Oh, okay.
Obviously.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, so Thriller, dancing people. Okay, so I would say my threshold for this is I'm going through the logic here.
Okay.
You got to figure most NFL stadiums, what, average 60,000 is a fair estimate?
Sure.
So if you get 60,000 people in a stadium and they all do the Thriller dance, I would have to say it's got to be a little bit higher than that.
But can you do it in your seat? Isn't it more of
what's the category?
It's a Thriller dance. So
is it the whole thing?
Yeah, you'd have to be standing. You'd have to go through the whole thing. There would have to be rehearsals and choreo. I'm thinking like flash mob kind of thing.
Mm.
Okay.
Is what it has to be. I'm going to say it's under 1,000. I'm going to say it's like 750 people.
I'll say then, I still think that it depends on how much you got to move. Because I can do the Thriller thing with my arms. And am I doing the dance?
No.
Yeah, like you're clapping.
By the way, we're going to have to take a video of that.
That was great audio, I know.
Okay, I'm still going to stick with my estimate and say it's more like 50,000.
Okay.
And I think that my logic is sound.
Your logic is sound. You're not quite there, though.
Dang it.
It's more.
No, it's less. Oh, okay. So the total is 13,597.
Three for three.
I guess. Less than 1,000.
$1, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. And here's where it's going to get interesting, because we'll see how good my Spanish is.
Uh-huh.
It was set in Mexico City.
Okay.
By the Instituto de la Juventud del Gubernador del Distrito Federal.
The Federal Gubernatorial District Federal of District. Juveniles?
I don't think Juventud's juveniles.
My Spanish is out of date.
Yeah, so is mine. But it looks like it's a government agency, as best I can tell.
Okay.
And they said it in August 2009, so mm-hmm. back to August.
But... See, those damn Mexicans spending money on Thriller dances instead of on the wall.
Big eye roll.
Yes, absolutely. So, but yeah, over 13,000.
13,000 people doing the Thriller dance at the same time is impressive.
Very much so.
That's a lot of people.
That's 13,000 people doing anything and agreeing to do anything together in unison is impressive.
Yes.
You can't even get people to do the wave correctly.
Right. We can't. we've got like 600 people for our finals, and we can't get them all in the same place at the same time and to shut up.
Very cool, Michael. Okay, yeah, so right. let's play your game.
All right, let's play my game. All right, here's how the trivia game works. And I have realized like right before the podcast that this is probably the worst two people in the world to play this game with.
Okay.
So.
Oh, good. That's a good segue. Would you rather not play?
You really bolster our confidence there, Nick.
I was going to say I have more facts we can talk about if the game.
Now I want to play the game.
Let's try it out for a minute.
Wrong.
All right, so here's how the game works. Let's try it out for a minute. If you all go 0 for the first three, then we'll just can it and turn it into a puzzle round or something.
Okay.
So here's how the game works. It is movie countries.
Okay.
Okay. They are movies with countries in the title.
Got it.
I will give you the IMDb plot synopsis.
Okay.
And you tell me the country that is named in the title or the title of the movie.
Okay.
Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can do that.
All right, here we go. The animals try to fly back to New York City, but crash land on an African wildlife refuge where
I got
Alex...
it. Madagascar.
That is correct. Madagascar 2, technically, escaped to Africa, but Madagascar is the country that is listed.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I haven't seen any of those.
But
neither
you
have I.
All right. That is 1 point to Michael.
Woo.
Oh no! You don't even need to keep score. Michael will win. I'm confident in that.
That's the spirit.
as a very very competitive person.
All right, here is.
You got to know where
you're
at.
Know your audience.
I am trying to get this. Be better. Be better at this. Okay, ready. TV talking head is dispatched to the United States. To report on the greatest country in the world. With a documentary crew in tow, he becomes more interested in locating and marrying.
Got
Pamela.
It.
Okay.
Coming to America?
It's not coming to America.
It's
oh, I don't know.
Borat, so this country is Kazakhstan?
That is correct. Borat.
Wait,
cultural.
Kazakhstan isn't in the title.
Yeah, it's a full,
the title of the movie is Borat, Cultural Learnings for Making Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
Oh, okay. Also, I should mention I've never seen Coming to America, so need to get on that.
It's a great movie.
You've never seen Coming to America?
With Eddie Murphy, right? That's the
yeah.
one you're talking
yes,
about? Okay.
Yeah, it's the one with Eddie Murphy.
I know it's classic. I'll get there.
Eventually, right?
Yeah. Okay, right. Keep going.
Okay. I can't pronounce that, so forget that. All right. A prince learns of his identity as Hebrew and his destiny to become the chosen deliverer of his people. 1998, Val Kilmer, Ralph Fiennes, and Michelle Pfeiffer.
I don't know.
No?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Okay. It's the Prince of Egypt.
Oh, I've heard
okay.
of that.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
I'm sure you've heard of most of these. Let's see. Fisheries expert is approached by a consultant to help realize a sheikh's vision of bringing the sport of fly fishing to the desert and embarks on an upstream journey of faith and fish to prove the impossible is possible. 2011, Ewan McGregor, Emily Blunt.
Oh.
Oh, I know this. I know this.
Oh. I don't know the name,
yeah,
but I can picture the movie poster.
Yeah, same.
I was like, there are people that I've heard of.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
No? Salmon fishing in the Yemen.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Just on my next must watch. Okay, do one more.
All right.
Because there's no way I can catch Michael, but I want to end with one more bonus fact.
All right. Let's see if I can do one that might be a little easier. In 1965, an unorthodox and irreverent DJ named Adam Kroner begins to shake things up when he is assigned to the U.S. Armed Services radio station.
I got this one, but I'm going to let Lindsay take a swing
first.
Oh,
no, I have no idea.
It's Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams.
That is correct, and Forrest Whitaker.
You,
right,
Michael, you crushed it. I'm impressed with you. I haven't seen any of those movies.
Those are all pretty big movies,
yeah, they're
right?
Pretty solid
I know,
movies.
That's fine. And you know what? You got to know your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Know your wheelhouse.
Exactly.
I'm not great at taking slap shots. I'm not good at knowing a lot of things about movies. most things. You got to know your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
I really could play that game all day. I love those types of games.
All right.
Cool. Okay, so I want to have one more bonus fact, because
okay.
I found this article and I thought it was super interesting. So the this is Architectural Digest and a bunch of other places reported on this, but a magazine spent over 6 months, got surveys from thousands of people from more than 100 countries online. What shade is the world's favorite color?
Gray.
Cerulean.
No.
It's what shade? Like, it's blue. Is it blue?
It's a mixture of blue.
It's a shade of blue.
Yeah.
Cerulean.
Is you're asking blue? For specific shades of
oh,
a
for
color?
The colorblind, yeah. You know what? Really, I wish that I would have thought this. I was like, now I'm just turning the tides on you, Michael,
right.
for doing so well on that last game.
You want to do well? What color is this?
Yeah. Well, it's just actually...
Also
it's,
great for an audio podcast.
Yeah.
It's called Mars Green. It's named the world's favorite color, and it's more of a teal. It's like a mixture of a blue... teal color or blue green color, and it's teal and it's very calming. I'm enjoying looking at it, but yeah, the world's favorite color, and you know, it's nice, it's reconnecting people with nature, blah blah blah, but that was just my bonus fact I wanted to throw out there. So let's get a phrase right now.
I should have turned the tables.
I love it. I love it, and I should have. My major regrets.
I need to find those like full color vision glasses.
So, to see what the world really looks
yeah.
like.
I mean, I looked it up. The closest one here to DC is Pittsburgh. So I think the next time I go home.
Oh,
to California,
you don't want
to
like buy one. You want to go.
I just want to go see.
You just want to go see color.
If it helps. Well, I want to know if it helps before
you know,
I spend a couple $100 on glasses.
You know, it would be amazing. I want to start a whole museum now that does right. nothing but like it's goggles and it's the full color goggles. And you can see a full range of color. But the right. whole room is in black and white. Like there's no reference.
Nope, this looks the same.
I think that you'd get a lot of negative reviews.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of angry people.
It would fall very quickly on the TripAdvisor's list of things to do in whatever
yeah,
place it was.
But think about how popular the last place thing on TripAdvisor would be.
I don't think very popular at all. I don't think very popular at all.
What is the worst place to go? I'd like to go to the worst place ever.
I don't think that you would. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, and it's North Korea.
Okay.
And you can go there, but it costs
$2,000.
Right. Okay, so this has been episode number 229 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.